May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I have this embarrassing confession to make, that although we've just entered into the season of Advent, and you know, in the Church of England, we're reminded the season of Advent is a time of penitence, of self-denial, of self-examination and repentance, I have to confess, in the Robbins Cole household, it's full swing into Christmas. As soon as we got back from Thanksgiving in New Hampshire on Friday, we went straight to Volante's farm, bought the biggest Christmas tree we could find, and have spent all the day since then decorating, Christmas carols blaring, even as we drive around the place. Now, our excuse is that our son is home for the Thanksgiving vacation from college, therefore we have to, you know, do this all now. But I suspect that even if he didn't exist, we'd still be doing it. But then we have these readings for the first Sunday in Advent, these readings of warning, stay awake, stay alert, because we do not know when the Son of Man is coming. And for the people who heard those words back in Jesus' time, the implication would have been clear. When the Son of Man came, judgment would come with him, because the Son of Man in his second coming brought judgment, and he would have asked us and them to account for their lives, to stand before him, before the judgment seat, to see what their lives had amounted to. And so we're called, therefore, by St. Paul in our letter to the Romans, to put on the armor of light, to put Christ on. And these beautiful metaphorical words may leave us wondering, so what exactly does this mean? Give us some instruction. And if we turn to the verses just before the passage we've just heard from Romans, Paul gives us clear instruction. He says that to be Christians, to fulfill a law, we must love our neighbors as ourselves. This is a summary of the law, to love our neighbors as ourselves. So we need to keep awake and make sure we're doing this. And I was reminded of the importance of keeping awake earlier this week when on Tuesday we celebrated the feast day of one of the Episcopal Church's more contemporary saints. Although I'm never quite sure what we're meant to call contemporary holy people in the Episcopal Church since the time of the Reformation, but I'm going to call him a saint. And this person is one who you probably know about, C.S. Lewis. In Lewis's, in his great book, The Screwtape Letters, which I know a lot of you have read before, it's a marvelous book in which a satirical book in which an older demon is teaching a younger demon how to tempt a young Christian away from his calling and to lead him down the path of perdition to hell. And what the older demon says to the younger demon is, you need to use stealth and deceit. It's no good. You may be tempted as a young demon to try to entrap this person with some massive sin, tempt them with a beautiful woman or something really obvious, some huge thing that's going to really tempt them. But the trouble with doing that is that it might make them aware and awake to their temptation. So it's much better, he says, to use small sins which they won't notice. Because, as he says, the road to perdition, it's just as good if the road is a smooth one as it is if it is a calamitous one. And so we, in our personal lives, need to stay awake to the way that small sins may be building up in our lives, to stay awake. But we also need to stay awake to the ways that sin may be creeping into our public life. And I was really reminded of this recently. Last Sunday evening, Sarah and I had gone to, my wife and I had gone to this beautiful ecumenical Thanksgiving service in Holliston, where she is the rector of the parish there. And then we came home and we put on the Patriots game, put our feet up, you know, cracked open a beer. And so I was sitting there and Sarah was sitting next to me. We were watching the Patriots game. And she was, as she often does, was looking at her Facebook thing. And so Facebooking away. And then she says, God, Adrian, you should see this this piece about this incident that happened in Wellesley. It's about an Asian American. And she's kind of talking about this. And I'm saying, yes, dear. But really watching the football game and having another sip of my beer. And then she says, yeah, this guy, Bill Lee. And all of a sudden, I kind of, what? Who? Bill Lee? Show me. So she showed me her phone, and there was Bill Lee, one of our parishioners, staring out at me from this Facebook page. And so all of a sudden, my attention was laser focused on this piece. And apparently what had happened, and this took place back in August, that Bill Lee, who's his parents, you know, fled the communists in 1948, came to America. He's an Asian American. He is one of the nation's top intellectual property litigators. His wife, Leslie, who's hiding behind the screen, is a member of our choir. I baptized one of his grandchildren in the font over there. Bill was on his way back from work from downtown Boston, where he's a partner in one of the top law firms. And he had stopped at the gas station to fill up his Mercedes SUV. And he was busy doing this when a man came up to him who was wearing a Wellesley soccer parent T-shirt. So it wasn't just some random guy. A Wellesley man came up to him and said, "How does a guy like you get a car like that?" And so Bill tried to defuse the situation with a bit of humor. Said, "Oh, from Herb Chambers." So the guy said to him, "Why don't you just go back from where you came from?" And Bill said, "I'm sorry, I don't understand." And the guy said, "What, don't you understand English?" And Bill said to him, "No, I don't understand ignorance." And Bill hadn't told anybody about this story until very recently when his firm was on a retreat, and he happened to mention this incident. And the other partners and particularly the younger lawyers in the company were outraged and said, you know, you need to make people know about this. And so they posted this story on the lawyer.com website. And I chatted to Bill about it earlier in the week, and he said that, you know, frankly, in one sense, it didn't really matter to him, but it was the first time in 40 years that someone had made a kind of a racial attack on him like this. And he said, look, this Bill is, he's chairman of the board of Harvard College, and, you know, this kind of thing can wash over him. But he says, if this kind of thing is happening to me in Wellesley, I'm really worried about what's happening elsewhere in the country with people who, you know, don't have the same kind of power or resilience that I do. And he went on to say that it's really critical, you know, given in this environment that we live in, that we don't allow these small little sins, these small little incidents, which we could easily just say, oh, well, it's a one-off incident, that we don't let these incidents become the new normal and lead us down the gradual road to perdition as a nation, that we need to stay awake and stay alert, and as Christian people, take a stand to make sure that this doesn't define who we are, but rather we're defined as people who love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.